A lot of policemen came early in the morning and kick all the family out. They come in and, you know, they took all the furniture out. And since this time, the two family, Hannoun and Ghawi, we are sitting under the tree near our houses, asking to turn back to our houses and asking to protect all the neighborhood.
From Jerusalem, you're listening to a podcast by the Ecumenical Accompaniment Program in Palestine and Israel. To find out more about EAPPI's work and to read eyewitness reports from Jerusalem and the West Bank, please visit www.eappi.org. Every year, thousands of tourists visit the Old City of Jerusalem to make pilgrimages to some of the holiest sites in the three Abrahamic faiths. Less than a mile north of the city walls is the Palestinian neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah. At first, it looks like a normal, quiet suburb. There's a big car park and a couple of corner shops, and jasmine bushes sit behind the walls of the houses. But this is one of the front lines in the struggle for East Jerusalem. On the 2nd of August, 53 Palestinians, including 20 children, were forced out of their homes by the Israeli authorities. On the same morning, religious settlers moved in and took up residence in the houses, with the full support of the Israeli police.
In the at the 2nd of August 2009, they came at 4:50 in the morning. This is the commandos police of Israel. They start to cut the doors and the windows. They bump some doors that they cannot open it, and they move all my family and the Hannoun family out from the houses, and they put us in the house, in the neighbor house, and circling the house, and they said, you cannot move from this house till 5 or 6 hours.
And of course you had women and children with you.
Okay, of course. If we talk about all the children of the Ghawi family, they are 20. After maybe 15 minutes, they start to destroy the furnitures. And they move the furnitures and they move it beside the police station in Sheikh Jarrah. And after 6 hours, they came and said, you can't go to collect your furniture. And when we go to collect the furniture, we don't find anything, actually. There is no security beside the furniture. It means the people who move here take anything free. So we cannot collect anything from the furniture, except some furniture which was broken. There is some mattresses and blankets.
The evictions followed a court decision in favour of Israeli settler groups who claimed that the land belonged to Jews in the 19th century, long before the houses were built. The two Palestinian families evicted in August, the Hannouns and Ghawis, were not the first. Warren, a retired British pastor, was serving as an ecumenical accompanier in Jerusalem last year, when Fawzia al-Kurd and her family were thrown out of their home. He regularly visited the protest tent they set up on a patch of waste ground near their home.
We were actually visiting the Al-Kurd family for the best part of 3 months during the time that we were in Jerusalem, trying to support them, knowing that they were going through this difficult period when they didn't know whether they were going to be able to stay in their home or be evicted. And we were there actually on the 9th of November when at 4 o'clock in the morning the Israeli military and border police surrounded the area and evicted the Al-Kurd family. They were not even allowed to change out of their pyjamas, and she was tending her seriously ill husband at the time. We were not allowed to go into the area. We stayed outside for the whole day. In the end, Kamel's husband came out in a wheelchair, and there was some difficulty even in getting him into an ambulance. And he died a week later. The shock, I imagine, was the last straw, because he had been seriously ill for some time. So we tried after that to continue to be supportive, especially after the tent had been erected on the patch of ground adjoining the house in Sheikh Jarrah.
And given that you were here almost a year ago, how do you think the situation's changed since you were here as an EA?
Well, it's certainly changed from Camel in that she's no longer on the she's no longer in the area. The tent has been taken away and the area has been sealed off. But it seems that it's deteriorated in that two other families have been evicted from their homes, and it looks as though others are going to face the same fate.
The complex story of Sheikh Jarrah goes back to the 19th century, when the whole of what was then Palestine was controlled by the Ottoman Empire. At that time, Jewish groups owned some of the land in Sheikh Jarrah, where they revered the tomb of a rabbi called Simon the Just. After the war of 1948, Jordan took control of the area and let the United Nations agency responsible for Palestinian refugees build houses there for families who had fled from what became the State of Israel. But after 1967, when Israel occupied and later annexed East Jerusalem, Israeli settler groups funded by the American gambling billionaire Irving Moscovich began to claim that they still legally owned the land, which happens to be strategically located between the old city of Jerusalem and the major Palestinian suburbs of East Jerusalem. A long court battle followed, and in 2008 the Kord family was evicted. In August, the Ghawi and Hanun families were also forced out of their homes. 25 other families also faced the same fate. The Ghawis say they have spent upwards of $500,000 on legal fees in their fight for the right to stay in their home. But they live with a problematic legal reality. Like most of the Palestinians in the neighborhood, they were refugees from what became Israel in the War of 1948. They fled to East Jerusalem, and in 1956 the Jordanian government provided them with housing in Sheikh Jarrah. In 1967, Israel occupied East Jerusalem, and soon after that the settlers began claiming the land. But as Palestinians, the families can't claim back the homes they were forced out of in 1948. Their claims are not recognized by the Israeli courts. Nasr al-Ghawi told me that during the legal process, he had presented the Israeli courts with a Turkish document that supported his family's case, but the court had rejected it.
And I know that the judge was very confused to take this decision. And he said, okay, this document is original document. It's not false. But it's very old document. So we rejected this document. And our document is before 110 years ago. When we asked the judge, what about the document before 130 years ago? Is it not old document? And why you rejected our document and you accept the documents of the Israeli side? He said, this is the law and we cannot change it. And I can understand. This is a political decision. It's not a law decision.
The evictions in August met with moderate condemnation from the international community. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton called the evictions deeply regrettable, while the General Secretary of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, said he was dismayed at continued Israeli actions in occupied East Jerusalem, which also include the demolition of Palestinian homes. One UN agency, whose office is a short walk from Sheikh Jarrah, said that the evictions ran against Israel's obligations under international law and that an estimated 475 other Palestinians are also at risk of forced displacement in Sheikh Jarrah alone. I asked Warren how he thought the international community could help.
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is that they be made aware of the situation. I think that this is a huge injustice, which is happening right in the heart, of the city of Jerusalem, and it's always seemed to me to be the occupation in microcosm, really, that you have this this occupation of homes and families, and relate it to the wider occupation. Use this as a vivid and a brutal example of what is actually going on throughout the West Bank and the occupied territories.
The three families so far evicted have done their best to bring international attention to their cause. Fawzia al-Kurd set up a protest tent on a vacant patch of land near her home, But in spite of her efforts, it was destroyed three times by the Israeli authorities, and she was forced to move away from the area. The Ghawi and Hanun families say they are determined to remain where they are, and are maintaining a constant vigil outside their former homes, along with international volunteers, including ecumenical accompaniers from the EAPPI. There is little they can do to change the decision of the courts, but Maher Hanun, who was made homeless in August 2009, says the presence of internationals has given him and his family hope.
The international people, they helping us so much. How? When they came around the world, 100 or 1,000 of miles, they don't care about the color or the religion. They came just because they believe in humanity. And when we say all those people come, gave us solidarity and support, it's important to us. They gave us more power to stay and to struggle. And we ask all the international people to tell our story around the world, to let more and more people know the truth.
The future of the Palestinians of Jerusalem hangs in the balance. It seems that only international pressure on the Israeli government will allow them the security of staying in their homes. But Fawzia al-Kurd told me that she was still optimistic about the future, because, in the words of an Arabic proverb, only those who claim their rights will secure them.
أنا إنسانة متفائلة جدا 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 لأنه لا يضيع حق وراء مطالب.
We are now claiming two rights, the right to return to what we lost in 1948 and for compensation, and now the right to return to what has been taken from us in East Jerusalem. Now my family has two claims, one in West Jerusalem and one in East Jerusalem. Even if it takes 100 years, I believe that my grandchildren must return to what is theirs. In spite of all that has happened to us, I'm an optimistic person and I believe that one day we will receive justice.
From Jerusalem, you've been listening to a podcast by the Ecumenical Accompaniment Program in Palestine and Israel. To find out more, visit our website, www.eappi.org.